we have a very important week. We have a very important image. We have a very important job. We have a very important conversation. This is a collective conversation. The week of September 11th, 2001 versus the week of September 11th, 2011. 10 years, people are talking about what happened on the day, what's happened since then. And so in our overview here on the Good Day program, trying to understand the various players, the principals, how we have grown, how we have changed, I thought there was no better way than to go back to this day 10 years ago, talk about a young man who was, I believe, 5 years old at the time, who is now 15, who started with his dad an organization called New York Says Thank You. Joining us is Jeff Parness, who's the founder and chairman of New York Says Thank You, and his son, Evan, who is, am I correct, Evan, are you 15 now?
No, I'm 13.
You're 13. So yeah. Then you would have been three on September 11th, 10 years ago. So going back, do you even remember, Evan, really what the day was all about?
Yes, I don't exactly know what was going on until a couple of years later when my parents talked to me about what actually happened. And all I remember is I was watching TV with my little brother. My mom was changing his diaper because he was still a little baby by then. I was watching TV, and my dad's friend from Germany calls. And he says, "Are you guys all right?" And they're like, "Yeah, we're fine." He says, "Turn on the news." And then I remember my mom grabbing the remote and changing the channel to the news, and we saw footage of this building on fire. I saw it was just a fire downtown, maybe a gas leak, someone dropped a cigarette, and it caught on fire. But I wasn't sure what was going on, so we went up to the roof, and all I could see was smoke coming from downtown, and I thought that maybe there was a fire going on and that everything was going to be okay, and I wasn't exactly sure what actually happened. And I remember my mom started crying, and I couldn't exactly tell what was going on. My brother was way too young to remember any of it because he was just a baby, and I was just thinking, okay, it's just a fire. And then a couple years later, I actually learned what happened, and I learned how serious this actually was.
So, Jeff, as the dad, you had a closer connection even than the visual that your son, Evan, just described, did you not?
No, that's right. One of my business partners, Kagai Sheffy, happened to be giving a speech at the risk management conference at the top floor of the World Trade Center at the morning of September 11th. And of course, we lost Kagai. It wasn't a day that went by for a couple of years that I didn't think about Kagai and trying to figure out what you could ever do to commemorate his life and what you could ever do to commemorate that day and what you could do not just to remember the tragedy but also to honor the kindness. New York was inundated by people from small towns all around the United States, people from around the world who came our way. So I was kind of struggling with, how do you do something to really say that your life is different? And it was actually Evan's suggestion when he was five on November 1st, 2003. He and I were watching a television news report about the California wildfires, and it was a story about a little girl who lost her Halloween costume when her house burned down. And I looked at Evan and I said, "Well, what would you do to help a girl in that situation?" And he told me he wanted to send his toys, to the kids in California. And I challenged him. I said, "Well, what if you collect toys from all the kids in our apartment building?" And his eyes lit up. "Dad, we could send lots of stuff." 3 days later, we had 100 volunteers. We had 500 New Yorkers load up a 17-foot U-Haul that me and two friends drove from New York to San Diego, filled with relief supplies for the California fire victims. And we put a huge sign on the side of the truck that said, "New York Says Thank You." And that simple statement, was my personal way of paying homage to my friend Kagai Sheffy, but I just wanted to make a bigger statement that New Yorkers would never forget what people did for us in our time of need. It was a couple months later, I think the exact date was May 15th, 2004, Evan was still five. And he was watching the Weather Channel in the other room. He comes into my home office with a serious look on his face. He says, "Dad, when Josh and I grew up, could we drive the truck if there's a tornado in Iowa?" And, literally that suggestion changed my life, and I think it's changed the lives of millions of people. Out of that through the New York Says Thank You Foundation, which today is the largest volunteer organization in the country focused on rebuilding projects around the United States on the 9/11 anniversary. The first year we did this, we took 14 volunteers from New York on September 11, 2004. 11 of those volunteers were New York City firefighters. A number of them survived the Trade Center. Mm-hmm. And we flew them out to a small town, Harbison Canyon, California, that had burned in the fires, and we helped build one home. This year, for the 2011 tribute project, we actually did the last week in July. We had over 2,000 volunteers help to rebuild an animal rescue barn in Ellijay, Georgia. And the reason it's grown every year is that we not only take more New York City firefighters, number of them survivors of the Trade Center, Ground Zero construction workers, 9/11 family members, New York City school kids, you know, other New Yorkers who to them, these projects are their therapy. Mm-hmm. But every year, people from all the small towns around the United States that we've helped on previous anniversaries of 9/11, every year they keep showing up with us to help the next community as their way to pay it forward. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's really grown to be this big national disaster, you know, sort of, I joke around, it's a big dysfunctional family reunion. Mm-hmm. All these disaster survivors who get together the weekend before 9/11, double the population of some small town nobody's ever heard of, and do a barn raising.
You know, I'm one of these people. My philosophy in life is that we're all here to help.
That's
if
right.
You're just joining us, we're having a conversation with Jeff Parness, who is the chairman of New York Says Thank You, and his son, Evan, who appears to have been the inspiration for this. And it wasn't New York. It was Southern California that was the first aim here of your help. And now when you see things that are going on, Evan, around the country, how do you and your dad discuss what it is that needs to be done? You're aware now as a young teenager of what's going on in the world. So how are you moved? What moves you?
Well, first things first, we watch tons of the Weather Channel. Like I can't go one day without watching it because it just pops up here and there, local on V8 or whatever it is, Storm Cell Watch. It just happens. And we hear about a natural disaster, then stories about the community to see if there's one particular destruction site that have a significant meaning, not just helping one person, but maybe a family or the community. And we decide which would be the most way, the best way to say, to pay things forward and to make a statement to actually help the community. So
pay things forward is a wonderful expression, by the way. Wonderful. There's wonderful meaning and energy behind that. All right, excuse me. Go ahead.
Yeah, and so pretty much what you just want to do, you don't want to choose, let's see, I can help two people who just moved in and then their house got destroyed. I could rebuild a community center for 100 people. Mm-hmm. And you decide what's going to make much of a difference.
Yeah.
And because you really want to get the full feeling of accomplishment and the significance of actually helping more people.
All right, let me understand this so that I get the concept correctly. You the generosity that was aimed at New York in September and through the fall of 2001, you find people in New York who will help people in other circumstances where they need help around the country. So that did all of the gifts and all of the energy of the giving come from folks in New York, or have you expanded in that area too? Either Evan or Jeff, you can answer that.
So it's a great question. You know, more than half of our volunteers now are disaster survivors from around the United States that we've been privileged to help rebuild their communities on previous anniversaries of 9/11. You know, so like I was saying, our core group of volunteers from New York here, you know, we take large groups of New York City firefighters, a number of them survivors of the Trade Center, and Ground Zero construction workers, family members. You know, and for New Yorkers, it's a way to not just remember what happened on 9/11, but to honor what happened on 9/12 and to pay forward the kindness that we experienced. But, you know, what is so humbling, and the reason I tell people New York Says Thank You is not about New York, it's about America. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not really about 9/11, it's about 9/12. It's about honoring that spirit of kindness of when peoples from all over America came, you know, to New York and to Washington and Shanksville, you know, to be of service and to be of comfort to one another. So, you know, as we've grown exponentially year after year, more than half of our volunteers now are California wildfire survivors, Katrina survivors from Louisiana, tornado survivors from Illinois, Indiana, Texas, Kansas, Arkansas, Iowa, you know, Georgia.
Yep.
And everywhere we go, people say, you know what, we'll be there with you next year.
Yeah.
And I think that's the greatest testament to kind of who we are as American people, the resilience and the compassion, and to be able to say, no matter what the tragedy, whether it's terrorism in New York, whether it's a tornado in Joplin, Missouri, that we'll all be there for each other. And that's how we choose to define ourselves, not by the evil and the tragedy, but how we come together in the aftermath.
All right, we have about a minute left, and my final question has to do with whether or not the government gets in the way, leaves you alone. We all know, philosophically speaking, the government's a lot different. We have seen a lot of changes, some of them not particularly positive or pleasant, in the way government deals with us. How have they been a part of this, or not at all, hopefully?
Not at all. Not at all. You know, New York City Thank You is a grassroots organization. It started with a suggestion of a child and, you know, grew from there. You know, years ago, our largest donors were New York City school kids who gave us their pennies to buy plane tickets for New York City firefighters so that they could do something positive on 9/11 and help other folks rebuild. And over the years, it's just grown organically from volunteers who said, you know what, this is a life-changing experience for them to come and volunteer with us, and they've gotten their companies to support us. So we've never looked for government assistance, nor, you know, is that a focus of it.
Or have they gotten in the way?
Coming together.
Yeah. New York Says Thank You .org is the website. We'll put that on DougStephan.com. New York Says Thank You .org. Jeff, you must be proud of Evan. Evan sounds like he's got it pretty straight, and that's the kind of thing that you'd like to have as we grow and learn about one another. Jeff Parnas is the founder and chairman of New York Says Thank You, and Evan Parnas, the son involved in all of these things from the very beginning. It's a great American story. Thanks to both of you for being here.
And thank you for having us.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Thanks, Evan. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever wanted OnStar, but it didn't come with your car? Well, all that's changed. Introducing OnStar FMV, a mirror you can add to your car. So drive your Ford, your Toyota, your Honda to Best Buy, and you can drive away with automatic help in a crash, stolen vehicle and roadside assistance, navigation, Bluetooth, and more. The wait is over. Get it installed on your car today. Visit OnStar.com for availability, limitations, subscription details, and stores near you.
Do you know someone who's having a birthday this month? Don't let the date sneak up and catch you unprepared. Have ProFlower send beautiful birthday flowers. They make flower deliveries easy and affordable. And get this incredible radio special. Yours right now. 100 stunning birthday blooms plus a free glass vase for just $19.99. Play it smart. Go online to ProFlowers.com. Look for the microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code HURRY. Why overpay at a florist when you can get huge savings on one full 100 stunning birthday blooms for just $19.99 at ProFlowers. They'll even throw in a free vase. With a deal like this, you can take care of all the important people in your life and schedule that special birthday delivery weeks in advance. But hurry, this $19.99 birthday deal won't last forever, and the only way to get it is to go to ProFlowers.com. Look for the microphone in the upper right corner and enter the secret code HURRY. One more time, write it down. ProFlowers.com. Secret code HURRY. Got it? ProFlowers.com. Secret code HURRY.
Hey, it's, what is it, 21 after the hour, Doug Stephan's Good Day program. Our focus this week is on what happened and what is happening and what will happen as we are stronger than ever, 10 years after September 11th.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light Systems system today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231. And the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
Good day, promise to help you understand what's going on around the country and around the world in your neighborhood with the strongest, most positive pitch on the day. We're looking forward with our conversation this week, stronger than ever, 10 years past September 11th. And as a result of our focus on all these things, we're meeting some very interesting people, including Max McManus, who's with us now on Good Day, 47-year-old owner and founder of MRI, which is an athletic and fitness training complex in Reno, Nevada. He participated in cycling events, marathons in college, and in March of this year, he came up with an idea. 50 states in 50 days, a 9/11 tribute ride. And so as a tribute to the victims and the 10-year anniversary of this attack on America, Max McManus set out to connect our country by riding his bike through every state over the course of 50 days. He started on July 4th. And where are you now, Max?
I'm in Maryland, about 15 miles north of Baltimore.
What's your body like? How are you feeling after all this time on the road?
Well, I've gone from having an attitude the first, say, 10 days of kind of performance riding and kind of competing to now kind of just surviving it. My body's absolutely trashed, you know. Mm-hmm. My hands feel super arthritic from having almost 500 hours on the bike, and my back's trashed, my knees are trashed. But it doesn't change the outcome of what I have to get accomplished. But I'm pretty beat down, I'm not going to lie.
Mm-hmm. What do you remember yourself about September 11th, the old thing about everybody remembers where they were? What do you remember about that day in the life of Max McManus?
Pretty much how disturbing it was that there was such a coward act that was unprovoked, and the terrorists did not even try to have this be something that was against our military, so to speak, you know, so to attack the United States and have the loss of so many innocent lives that have nothing to do with any, you know, tension or friction or military or anything else like that was just, like, mind-boggling to me.
In terms of inspiration, you're one of those people who is inspiring. You give people something to think about. Okay, look at this guy. How many things have happened to him in his life?
And he still keeps pushing. He keeps coming. He keeps going. He keeps doing. And there's a lesson in there, I think, anyway. There's an analogy between what you've done with your life and what we as a country can do to push forward. And one wonders sometimes whether we have, if everybody's on that same plane, if we're all on board, given how negative the news media is, for example.
Well, you have to have the resolve to survive and move on. You know, everybody has their own different ways of measuring that. But, yeah, it's going to be burned into the history books now. You know, I suppose the biggest event that disrupted the lives of Americans before this would probably have been Pearl Harbor, since it was, you know, in the United States. But I think the key is to never forget that the freedom of the United States is constantly going to be challenged by different parts of the world. Our way of life is going to be challenged, and that there are people that will dedicate their lives and even sacrifice their lives to try to protect the freedom and the sovereignty of this country, and that we try to remember to appreciate those people and not take our freedom for granted.
Max McManus is attempting to go across the country, keep people focused on what we got out of this and where we are. You are a uniter, you say, which is something we also need in this country, right?
Yeah, that was part of the point of trying to pick one continuous route to connect the whole United States. You know, it's the United States, not the divided states. And you even can see, I mean, you know, it appears to me that we have a lot of bickering going on between states, and, you know, people get really caught up in their own lives. And I think they start to forget that the patriotic part of what the United States, you know, represents as a country in itself. So I really wanted to try to make a difference and try to connect everybody. And the only way I, you know, with my abilities was to ride a bicycle as a kind of a call to action and see if everybody would get on board and make a contribution to the 9/11 Foundation, because that's what this cause is all for. And that foundation gives financial aid to all the wounded warriors that are helping protect our country so that there can never be another 9/11 again.
I would say that there is much here to be proud of. You ought to be proud of what you're doing. We ought to be proud of what you're doing. If you want to check out the website as this trip comes to a close, it's freedom5050.com. And you can follow Max McManus on Facebook. I think there's a lot of info there as well, Max, right?
Yes, correct.
All right. Good luck to you, and thank you for that work. Thank you for helping to bring us together. It's an important part of what we need to acknowledge around moving ahead. Stronger than ever, 10 years past September 11th.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
The American people think they live in a constitutional republic. Land of the free, home of the brave. Right.
Just try those lines on the judge when you get a ticket or have to deal with a big bad IRS.
Instead, use escapeharassment.com. Since 1972, our volunteer group of researchers and educators have successfully taught how to escape tickets by law, and it works. Escape Harassment has three different steps to follow, depending on where you are in the ticket process. Learn how to escape tickets, IRS, or court proceedings before you go to court. For free, three-minute pre-recorded information and FAQs, call this toll-free number, 1-877-45 9009. That's 877-457-9009. Or go to escapeharassment.com and see our money back guarantee. That's escapeharassment.com. Remember, escape harassment works.
Hello, friends. Alex Jones here. You all know I've worked for years with Steve Shank and eFoods Direct. I have eFoods for my own emergency food supply. You know, Steve, life is different now for all of us, isn't it?
Very different. People are using this great food to survive the present hurricane season, and we've already had $40 billion worth of damage from floods, storms, quakes, and droughts. And that's just the first 8 months of this year. Natural disasters are newsworthy, but only touch a few of us Americans. The huge issue of the Greatest Depression is on everyone's mind. The unemployment, the loss of homes, lost businesses, and skyrocketing food costs are hitting every American. So everyone needs food security.
Folks, this month you will get free shipping on every food order from eFoods Direct. That's right. Every order gets free shipping starting September 6th. Get stocked up with the best storable foods out there with eFoods Direct and be prepared for any emergency before it happens. To take advantage of this special, call 800-409-5633 or go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I had very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
The Doug Steffen Good Day program, as we are focusing on the United States of America 10 years after September 11th. Are we stronger than ever, better than ever? In many ways, yes. There are so many people who are focused on the actual place. And we have with us now Bill Baroni. Excuse heavens.
You're getting all choked up over this, aren't you, Doug?
Well, the truth is that I lost my voice earlier this week, and I'm now just sort of getting it back again. And but yes, Rich, I am choked up about this because I remember what you and I were doing when the event took place.
Absolutely.
We've had lots of conversations every year on the anniversary. Now, as tired as we all are of seeing and reliving that horror, it's very interesting to see what is there, actually, at the site. Bill Baroni is the Deputy Executive Director of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, which is responsible for the World Trade Center Memorial, also the building of the new One World Trade Center. In fact, Mr. Baroni is on the 20th floor of the Trade Center. Good to have you here, sir.
Doug, good morning. How are you? I can tell you that... You said you lost your voice there, but I can tell you this coming weekend, a lot of people, when they're down here at the World Trade Center site, are going to get choked up as well. I mean, this is an extraordinary place here in Lower Manhattan, and when the families of the nearly 3,000 victims of the 9/11 attacks here in New York, at the Pentagon, at Flight 93 in Pennsylvania, and the first World Trade Center attack, those families, when they come on to the 9/11 Memorial Plaza for the first time, and they see the memorial that's been built, I think the whole world, and certainly all of us here, will be just a little choked up.
What did you think when you first went on that facility for the first time?
Back in March of 2010, Governor Chris Christie of New Jersey, who is someone I've known for about 20 years, asked me to leave the New Jersey State Senate where I was serving and come here to the Port Authority. And the last thing that he said to me before we went out and did the press conference, Governor Christie said, make sure we open this memorial on time. And for a lot of years, people, not just here in New York and New Jersey, but I'm sure many, many of your listeners all across the country were wondering, is anything happening at the World Trade Center? And I can tell you that a lot is happening here. We've got construction 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, around the clock. But the most important thing we were going to do was to make sure that the 9/11 memorial was open on time. The families of those that we lost, our first responders, our survivors, demanded it, and we owed it to them. We owed it to history. We owed it to the country to make sure this memorial opened on time. And for all of the discussion and debate that took place many years ago after the attacks, this Sunday morning at 8:46, which is the moment the first plane hit the North Tower of the Twin Towers, when people go onto this plaza for the first time, they will see an extraordinary place. You know, people, I know folks have seen pictures, but people are going to walk onto the plaza, and the first thing they'll see are the two reflecting pools. The pools of water are in the exact footprint locations of the Twin Towers. They're about 30 feet deep. They're waterfall pools, the largest ever made, largest on the planet. Surrounding each of those pools of water are the names in bronze of the nearly 3,000 victims of the first World Trade Center attack in 1993, where six Port Authority employees and one of their unborn children were killed, and then the attacks on September 11th in New York and Northern Virginia and in Pennsylvania. They'll see them on bronze. Surrounding that are 250 swamp white oak trees and one pear tree. The survivor tree. It was a tree that was on the original plaza with the Twin Towers. It survived the collapse of those towers, and we replanted it last October. And when the water is running and the people are out here on the plaza, we're in one of the busiest areas in the world here in Lower Manhattan. But there's a peacefulness to that plaza, and I think people, when they see it Sunday morning, will see the work that was done, and they will say that the dignity and respect that we've shown in constructing it, and remembering those that were lost, I think people will be—they will be choked up, and I think they'll also see that we've done a good job for the memories of those that we lost.
You're talking about being choked up. I have, and I did for I think 4 years after September 11th, 2001. I did my program on September 11th from a spot overlooking where the buildings were, and always watching what went on down there. I was invited to come down for this event this weekend, and so first I wouldn't be on live, but secondly, I am, and this is, I hope doesn't sound like a negative, but I am kind of tired of the news media falling all over themselves. When this is, although, yeah, you got to have some news coverage, but this is really about the families. This is about the people who lost folks. And I wonder if you have winced at all with the criticisms that have been aimed at some who seem not to have gotten either the invitations right or this person's invited and that person isn't, taking away from the essence of what of the main point here.
Well, you know, the discussions about invitations and you know, this is going to sound like I'm not directly answering the question, but in these are the city hall. And
you're a former politician. I don't expect you don't have to answer.
Well, you know, Doug, it's, you know, I was in office for 6 years. So you don't quite lose it that quick. It's a difficult balance. I know the mayor's office who you know runs the actual ceremony, but something you said I think is very important. Very important. Is, you know, you were down here in those first number of years. And I can tell you, Doug, as someone who has listened to you, this is, you've been someone who has talked about that for, and the issues of 9/11, and what happened that day, and the families for these 10 years. And that's what's so important about Sunday morning. And for all the attention, you know, and we're at the Port Authority, you know, we're rebuilding the site. We were brought back in late 2006 to get the politics out of the way and actually build this site and build the memorial and museum and the One World Trade Center. But for all the discussion of the thickness of the steel in this building that I'm talking to you from and the concrete, how thick the concrete is and how tall the building is, and for all the discussion of the thousands of workers down here, and that's very, very important, you know. But at its core, at its heart, at its soul, what we're doing here is building this memorial for the families of those that we lost. And everyone in the country, everyone around the world knows exactly where they were on September 11th.
Oh, boy, don't they?
Right? And everyone around the country, probably maybe directly, maybe a few degrees of separation, knows someone who didn't come home that day. I know I grew up in central New Jersey, and you know, my home state was very much affected. More than 700 people didn't come home that day. And, you know, for all the discussion, in the end, it really is 10 years ago on Sunday. You know, moms and dads and husbands and wives and partners and kids and, you know, they didn't get to see their loved ones again. People who went to work that Tuesday morning like they did every other Tuesday morning and sitting in their office, you know, working hard, and they didn't get to come home. And we here at the Port Authority, we're very cognizant of the importance and the dignity and the respect that is. Remember, the Twin Towers were our home. You know, the Port Authority, I wasn't there yet, but the Port Authority built the Twin Towers. You know, 84 of our employees, among the nearly 3,000 who died, but 84 of our employees didn't come home. 37 Port Authority police officers, the single largest one-time killing of police officers in American history, along with FDNY, our firefighters, and New York City police. This is about them. And we've got to remain cognizant of the fact that even 10 years later, some people who have not been back to New York are going to come back this September. It's about them. And, you know, we owe it to them and to the memories of the souls that we lost to make sure we have completed this memorial first on time, which we have, and with dignity and honor and humbleness and respect to the memories of those that we lost.
Okay, so let's be practical for a few moments here, if we may. The building you're standing in on the 20th floor, the new Trade Center, you have the steel up to the 80th floor. How tall will you describe the building as it will be completed? And then perhaps talk about how much interest there is in renting space by companies that are American or maybe not American.
Well, One World Trade Center is, as you said, is now 80 stories up. It goes up a story a week, which is extraordinary.
Mm-hmm.
We are now the tallest building in New York City. When we are complete, the steel will be complete in February of next year. We will be the tallest building in the Western Hemisphere, 1,776 feet high. And by the way, I have to tell you, earlier this week I was talking to somebody who actually looked me in the eye and said, "Where'd you get the number 1776 from?"
Duh.
Yeah, and you can't make it up. Doug. You can't. You just can't. And so, we're 1,776 feet high from the 104th story at the top of the building, where there'll be an observation deck. You can actually see the curvature of the Earth.
Mm.
But notably, this building is tall. When we're done, the building will be taller than the Twin Towers, the North Tower of the Twin Towers.
Yeah.
And that's important. You know, as I was saying before, I grew up in Central Jersey, but my grandparents were in New York City. And when we drive up the New Jersey Turnpike to visit my grandparents, you always knew you were getting near New York when you saw the Twin Towers. If you flew into LaGuardia or Newark, you always knew you were near New York when you saw the Twin Towers. They anchored Lower Manhattan, just as the Empire State Building was in Midtown. This anchored Lower Manhattan. When the lives of those 3,000 victims were taken from us 10 years ago this Sunday, so too was the anchor in Lower Manhattan. One World Trade Center has become that new anchor of Lower Manhattan. And no matter where you are now, coming up the Jersey Turnpike, flying into one of our airports, anywhere in the region, anywhere in your city, you see One World Trade Center standing taller than all of the buildings around it, now any of the other buildings in New York City. And that was really important. You know, the most important thing we could do, as we talked about before, is to remember those that we lost.
Mm-hmm.
We had to be resilient, as you've talked about a lot about being resilient in the face of the tragedy that we struck. We also had to rebuild. And that's what building this building has done. And this is a concrete and steel outer core building, and outer shell building, and an inner steel and concrete building.
How in the name of God, when you look at something like that, what a sort of a marvel, 1,776 feet into the air, does the damn thing stand up? That sort of thing continues to mystify me, no matter how far. Manhattan's a rock, okay, so you build on top of the rock, that's what gives you, you know.
Well, Doug, I learned in politician school, never correct the questioner.
Now, go ahead.
We're not building in some ways. I mean, this part of Lower Manhattan has been, over time, built up and built on landfill. So one of the challenges of the original Trade Center, when the Twin Towers were built, is that we were building below the level of the Hudson. So we had to build then, and then we had to rebuild now, a series of slurry walls, essentially a reverse bathtub,
mm-hmm.
to keep out the Hudson River. one of the real fears back on September 11th, September 12th of 2001 was that the walls would collapse. Had they done that, you would likely have flooded Lower Manhattan to 14th Street.
Wow.
So as we've rebuilt the site and we've rebuilt the slurry walls, actually next year, and Doug, I'd really love to invite you personally, whenever you can, not even to go on the air, not even to do it for radio, but you, who's been so committed to this, next time you're in New York, you please let me know, and I'll take you around myself.
I will.
If you go down below the memorial, where the 9/11 Museum is, you will be able to see an original piece of the slurry wall.
Really?
And what's important about it is still in its original location. A number of the artifacts down there, the cross that was outside of St. Peter's Church, fire trucks, we've moved back to the site. But that slurry wall is in its original location. But in order for us to rebuild the site, we had to build a new slurry wall behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to talk about the dedication of our construction workers to the site. A group of masons spent a year using 8,000-year-old technology with chisels and buckets and literally roped down behind it and poured a new slurry wall.
Isn't that amazing?
That's the kind of passion and commitment that all of us down here, not just those of us at Port Authority, but every construction worker, to have to make this site be done right. Now, the museum will open on time, and I can tell you, just as we made our commitment to open the memorial on time, we're going to open that museum on time next September 11th.
Mm-hmm. So, we only have a moment or so left. How well is, or I don't say how well is the rent because it's ways off from that, but how is the interest from those who might become tenants? This is a big building. The guy who owns the building, I forget his name, they've got to pay the mortgage. So how, what do you sense is the interest there?
Well, here at One World Trade Center, which is owned and leased out by the Port Authority, we were very blessed to have Condé Nast, which is the large international publishing company, is going to take out has already signed a lease, a long-term lease, to take 1 million square feet out of a 2.5 million square feet building. And Larry Silverstein, who owns some of the other buildings on
the
site.
He was the one I was thinking of. He was the principal in the other.
Yeah, Silverstein had leased out the two Twin Towers 6 weeks before they were attacked. He's building three buildings on the other side of the World Trade Center site, the other side of the memorial, and he too is experiencing, because what's happening down here in Lower Manhattan is that the view a number of years ago that nothing was happening here, no one would want to take space out here, no one would want to live down here, is just not correct. Believe it or not, Doug, twice as many people live down here in Lower Manhattan today, twice as many than did on September 10th, 2001.
It's actually kind of a neat part of town. Well, I will take you up on your invite in a couple of weeks when I'm back in New York, because I would like to go there, and maybe it would be at some point in time good to do a program from there. We can talk about that, but I think it's a great update and something, again, forward-looking rather than the continuing rehash of what happened. Bill Baroni, Deputy Executive Director of the Port Authority of New York and New Jersey, from the 20th floor of the new Trade Center building in New York. Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Doug. Be well.
Live from Progressive.
Next caller.
Hey, Flo, so what's up with the Snapshot discount?
It rewards your good driving habits, and it's our biggest discount ever.
Bigger than the safe driver discount?
Bigger.
Homeowners discount?
Bigger.
The phenomenally humongo discount?
If it existed, yeah.
Wow, that is big.
The Snapshot discount. It's new, it's a big deal, and it's finally here. Learn more at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and its affiliates, Mayfield Village, Ohio. Prices vary based on how you buy. Snapshot is not available in all states.
Final round time. If two's company and three's a crowd, what's 207?
A bar mitzvah?
Correct. Opportunity never knocks twice. Why not?
It's got sore knuckles?
Correct.
Yes.
How fast does Netflix let you watch TV episodes and movies?
Instantly, through your game console or other devices.
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Yeah.
Sir, put your shirt back on.
But I'm excited.
You're scaring the children.
What happened, man? You used to be energetic, happy, and wow, did the ladies love you. Now you fall asleep on the couch, irritable, and out of shape. Don't be that guy. Call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male, a natural supplement shown to raise testosterone by 61% and maintain healthy, normal levels. No injections, no appointments. With healthy testosterone levels, you can feel that energy again, that great outlook again, and yes, even a healthy sex drive. Right now, you can try Ageless Male risk-free. There's nothing to lose, guys. If you're a man who's noticed changes in your body, your mood, your sex life, call now for a risk-free trial of Ageless Male. Be the guy you used to be. Call 1-800-864-4031. Don't wait another day. Call 1-800-864-4031.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Energy, energy, and more energy.
We all need it. Get the energy you need quick through the powers of wild forest extracts. Wild chaga and birch bark are the secrets of the forest, used exclusively by Russian athletes. Wild chaga is the world's top source of superoxide dismutase, the critical enzyme that blocks the aging process. Chaga is good for your heart and even helps support healthy arteries. Wild birch extract is the top source of betulin, a natural sterol needed by every cell of the body. And healthy cells mean a healthy body and a more powerful you. No wonder it's known as a king of all herbs. Experience real energy and power like you've never dreamed possible. Take Chago Charge Tea with Wild Birch Bark every day and Chagamax capsules to get the energy you need.
You deserve it.
Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Television show Rescue Me, which is a direct result of what happened in New York on September 11th. Dennis Leary's inspiration for doing the program came from that event. Most people know how gritty, raw that program is. I believe this is the last year for the program. Chuck Curry, who is our movie man, is here. We're going to talk with him about the movies, the television shows, what came as a result of September 11th, 10 years ago. And there are a couple of pretty interesting observations Chucker has made. You can check out his blog, Entertainment Today and Beyond, by going to DougStephan.com, clicking on Chuck's picture. That'll bring you there. We'll have the benefit of Chuck's overview in just a moment here on Good Day.
So what are you driving now? A Ford? A Honda? A Toyota? A few hours from now, it could be a car with OnStar. Introducing OnStar FMV, the new way to add OnStar to just about any car. All you have to do is head to your local Best Buy to see all it can do. Then Best Buy can install it for you. And suddenly, you're driving around in a car with the powerful protection of OnStar. Visit OnStar.com for availability, limitations, subscription details, and stores near you.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the teeming rains of India, nor the snows of Kilimanjaro, nor the glare of the paparazzi at a Hollywood opening can keep your lenses from giving you the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal. Ask for them at your eye care professional.
All right, so Chuck Curry, you have some observations about the sorts of things that have come out as a result of September 11th. In the, I don't know, is entertainment? I guess it is entertainment. Entertainment is the great wraparound for this, right?
Well, I think there were different ways to tell it, both in movies and TV. 10 years after 9/11, here's my look of how movies and TV dealt with the aftermath of that day. In terms of movies, it took 5 years after the fact before we saw Oliver Stone's World Trade Center, which was released in 2006, a solid film about the day of 9/11 in New York City, told through the eyes of a Port Authority police officer, well played by actor Nicolas Cage. Both the NYPD and the NYFD came out and said they were very pleased with the movie and had immense respect for its storytelling. I thought it was a good film. The same year, we saw director Paul Greengrass's United 93, which was nominated for Best Picture. I thought it was the very best movie on the 9/11 subject, dealing with the hero passengers on Flight 93 that crashed over Pennsylvania. It was a riveting watch, one that I only seen one time. A few other films that featured 9/11 in its background story was Spike Lee's underrated 25th Hour with starred Ed Norton, and also Rain Over Me, an Adam Sandler movie, which he played a dramatic role in 1997. As for TV, the most positive show I think that came out of 9/11 was FX's Rescue Me, which starred Dennis Leary, who also had complete creative control on the show. It just ended a seven-year run centering in on a New York City firehouse that used humor to good effect, but also portrayed his firefighter characters as people that were heroic but pretty flawed. His quality was up and down, but a solid program throughout its seven-year run. Most importantly, Doug, it paid tremendous respect to firefighters, and in that, it served its purpose well. I think on TV, perhaps I just want to end on this, perhaps the most bizarre and stunning of all 9/11 images on TV was a season-ending episode of Fringe 2 years ago, which showed the World Trade Center still existing in a parallel universe, which pretty much showed that we have come somewhat of a long way since 9/11 10 years ago in the respect of television, but that's a day we'll never forget.
How much has the effect of September 11th had on movie making, television making in New York City? How has that changed for the better? It seemed a lot of shows.
I think overall, a year or two after, I think producers of both television and movies were very edgy on touching the subject. I thought Oliver Stone in 2006, I thought it was a little too soon, but in retrospect, I guess it was not. But I think producers and storytellers have free rein to examine the subject as they please, and I don't feel a hesitancy at all at this point.
And as far as in general production in New York City, which was down in a lot of the areas, the Chelsea Pier is very close to this, and that's where all the L.A. Law stuff is shot, right in that area.
I keep saying
L.A. Law. I mean Law and Order stuff.
I think it's come back, but New York in general is expensive to film, so producers have gone to other cities like Pittsburgh as backdrop for TV shows and movies. Yeah. So,
great. Let's all go to Pittsburgh. Hi, Chuck Curry, our movie man on Good Day, reviewing the situation as far as films are concerned from September 11th. Big